G'day and welcome to episode number 66 of the Destiny Down Under podcast. As always, I am joined by Fearless Myland Games down in the bottom, well, left if you're looking at it on a screen. My right.
Hello.
And none other than the deranged sloth, real-time sloth, man of many names and not much hair.
Real-time sloth.
Yes. I mean, we missed an episode last week, and for that we are eternally sorry, but it was one of those weeks where literally nothing lined up. It happens. We all live pretty fucking full lives outside of this, so occasionally we're going to shit the bed, and it's just going to happen. We're just going to get up, change the sheets, and get on with it. So here we are. Clean sheets, ready to go. How have you been, dudes? What's been happening?
Busy. Busy, man. Just, as you say, busy with life at the moment. Busy with PhD land. New addiction added to the fucking to the gaming pool. It was Monster Hunter. Sloths introduced me to Escape from Tarkov. So that's got its hooks in pretty pretty deep.
Pretty bad. Yeah, right.
Interesting game right up my alley. So, yeah, just been playing a little bit of that and trying to think about how to survive on YouTube.
We can talk about that later if you want. We'll get through the Destiny news and then we can talk about that, because as much as you know, like, it's not a particularly positive thing to be talking about, like, if you were part of the Destiny community, you will have definitely noticed that over recent weeks, people have been moving and shaking, and there's things afoot. DCP are now doing podcasts that have nothing to do with Destiny. So, you know, like, we're going to be pragmatic and we're going to be open and honest about the things we do as well. So, you know, like, we still love the game and we still, like, want the best for it, but, you know, there comes a time where it's time to, you know, shit or get off the crapper and figure out what you're going to do with yourself. So, anyway, we'll talk about that down the line. It's time to shit or get off the crapper. So, without further ado, we might jump right into the This Week at Bungie update, which, you know, like, it was a meaty endeavor this week. There's a lot of info in it. There's a lot of bullet points. So, if you don't want to hear Slothy reading bullet points, or me reading bullet points, or Matt maybe reading bullet points, but Matt normally doesn't read them. He normally comments on them. That's just... he's the brains.
I'm thinking, are we looking at the same update?
Oh, we are.
I'm not... I don't know if I'm looking at the right update here.
Matt's read the wrong update.
Oh, my God, Matt.
I read the week before. I was like, there's not many bullet points here. Oh, God, guys, I'm prepared for the wrong thing.
It's bullet point Mageddon. Gonna fucking drown in a sea of bullet points. Okay. It's all good. It's all good.
I 100% will be making comments based on what you say.
All right, well done. Do you want to dive in, Slothy?
So, Mylan, are you on the right page?
Are you on the right page?
Okay, good. I'm glad. All right. So, speaking of update 1.14, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a bit to get through, so please bear with us. So, mentioned in the last week's T-Wave, Iron Banner Rumble. And Mayhem are making their triumphant returns to Destiny 2 with a few twists. Iron Banner has become 6v6. Mayhem features 90% fewer Nova Bombs. Win.
fucking better, man. That was...
And Rumble has welcomed two additional players into the fray, which is decent.
Is that already live? Or is this coming?
No, that's coming. It is on. That's coming with 1.44. Yeah. 1.1.4.
So Rumble's going to have 8 people. Yeah. Iron Banner's already had 6 people, though, right?
No.
So,
it'll come with that update.
The community has thought and yelled about two things that Bungie has been able to identify is a time to kill and team shotting. So they're reworking systems, mechanics, and values to tackle those two areas. Basically, the general gist of it is that they want to make Crucible more exciting.
They want to make Crucible Destiny 1.
Yeah. They want to make Crucible more exciting.
This is the worst possible example for anyone who's trying to motivate themselves to do actual work and not just copy pre-existing things. Let's invent a new game. No, we just wanted the old one. Should have just copy-pasted.
Legitimately, that's what it seems like. But anyway, let's get down to, as they said, let's get down to brass tacks. So on the 27th, when 1.1.4 does go live, they are changing the respawn timers to all quick play modes. 2 seconds in all quick play modes. Except for survival and countdown, they have been reduced to 7 seconds and players no longer lose revive tokens on death. That's a decent move, in my opinion, especially in regards to survival. If you get dropped, you don't lose a respawn token, which, you know, keeps you in the fight for a little bit longer. And you can go, oh, I got caught out of position. Oh, shit, there goes my respawn token.
Yeah, I think any way they can reduce time spent on the sidelines is going to be a good thing for people's engagement in the game. It just sucks. Just sitting on this watching, it sucks. So, you know, to drop that back is perfect. Also, power ammo respawn timers were adjusted across the board. So, power ammo respawn timers in Iron Banner have been reduced by 50%. By 50%. So there's going to be twice as many instances of power ammo. In quick play modes by 30%. In survival by 40%. And countdown by 25% or thereabouts.
So the title of this whole paragraph's pretty accurate. Gotta go fast. More people spawning quicker, more power ammo. So that's pretty good summary, right?
Yeah, I think they've captured the spirit of it in three words.
Gotta go fast, guys. If you're looking for a summary, gotta go fast.
Okay. Now the one thing, so they're reducing the ammo counts, they're reducing the ammo timers. Enemy players now drop power ammo and death. So if you're one of those people that are hiding around the corner with a katakana hunter,
you're just calling people out.
I am, yeah.
It's been a good while since we've just called anyone out on the podcast. We should bring that back.
Yeah, you can. Pinch the power ammo of someone who's using it, which is good. It doesn't stay for very long, but if you do manage to get someone who is using a sword, like a cheeky so-and-so, then you can capitalize on it, I guess you could say, if you've missed out on picking it up off the box. So the big thing that I took away from at least this TWAB is competitive changes.
So, this is huge.
Right. So we're going to go into this in depth because a lot of people play competitive a lot more than, like, you know, I'm saying, like, trials and all that sort of thing a lot more than they do quick play. So during the development of 1.1.4, they've identified that team shotting needs to be reduced, but they haven't quite done the same in competitive. Knowing this, they look for a change reinforcing the following goals: reduce team clumping, reward individual players, and incentivize. They want to make people flank. I can't words.
They're trying to encourage what the PvP community would call through hero moments, right? And exactly. Comebacks and individual players.
Tactics other than stick together. Changed.
The way that they have changed this, ladies and gentlemen, is they've removed the tracker.
It's beautiful. It's in its simplicity. It is beautiful, and it will be fucking chaos. It is going to... Remember the Halloween trials?
Yeah. That
was people fucking hated it. But you know what? For the average man, you could get in there and, like, it was probably one of the most successful weeks I've ever had in trials without having to jump in Sassy's backpack, to be perfectly honest. So yeah. I really like it, and I think it's a positive change. And of all of the things that I've read in this update, I went, ooh, to that probably the most. Yeah. So
That was definitely the ooh moment for me as well. Like, getting rid of the motion tracker, you've definitely got to... Like, you can't just go... So, if you're on... what's the map with rugs and market?
Yeah, I know. Countdown?
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. And, like, it's like you split into two groups of two. You go, two rugs, two market. Okay, I see X amount of people on the tracker, or I come to rugs. or one stay at market, two, one come to rugs. Now they have to go, well, where are we going to go first? Well, they went here last time, but we nailed them at market. So maybe we should all go to rugs. And then if there's none there, we'll just clear the way through all the way back to market, or we'll split into two groups of two. Like it's
tactical play will be so much more camping, important.
But yeah, it rewards camping, but it does reward tactical play.
I mean, as it stands right now, you can kind of run forward up that middle channel of that map and get a read on where you get blips on your radar and go, oh, they're going to X or Y or whatever. You know,
exactly.
Like, you know, it's easy as it stands. When you can't do that without having direct eyes on someone, which means that you're basically there to engage them anyway, it's. I mean, like, honestly, I can see this being one of those things where everyone's like, we want change, we want change, we want change. And then they change this and they go, we don't want change, we don't want change. Fucking change it back. But I hope Bungie stick with it, because I think that, honestly, like, competitive game types, Inferno back in Destiny 1 was this. It was basically Slayer, or whatever you want to call it. What's the Destiny equivalent of Slayer? I've just reverted to my Halo days from 100 years ago.
Rumble.
No. Yeah, well, anyway. So it's that without the bloody... no radar. Yeah. So I'm all for it. My only concern is with really big trials maps that it could be a bit of a punish.
Yeah. So there's not really any huge trials maps per se. It'll definitely be a really interesting game on the Burning Shrine, or Burnt Out Shrine, or whatever it's called now. That'll be an interesting game. But it just means that it slows it down a little bit. So hopefully they've increased the game timers, so it's not like everyone's sort of going, nice and slowly, and then it's like 10 seconds left. Quick, get to the point! It's like, no, we need to, they need to increase the timers on that, so it's more about gunplay and how close you can be to the point.
I don't know whether they will, though, because all of this is about forcing engagement faster. I don't think they'll do anything to slow
even a competitive game mode down. This is what I've gathered from playing a lot of Siege recently, which is that you need to be slow and methodical. You need to be slow and smooth is fast. So check corners, check heights. When you're going around corners, check the mid, up, and low. Like if someone's jumped up above you or something like that. Like it's going to be slower. So people will play it slower.
Yeah, I suppose. I do
understand. Let's keep going, because we're like only at 7th through this dot points.
Yeah. Anyway. So basically then they've got Hamrick, who has come on and said there's a few sandbox changes coming up on the 27th.
Here they all
are. He's done some solid playtesting, external participants and all that sort of thing. All three glides plus catapult and strafe lift have been returned and buffed to make them faster and more unique. Okay, so you've got your got to go fast as is. The title that people have been slinging around for the last couple of weeks. The mobility stat range has been expanded and completely returned as well. In short, everyone gets faster in the high end, and the high end is higher. So if you run a completely, like, just sonic build, you're going to, like, if you're an arc strider and you hit the dodge, you're going to dodge, and you're going to dodge quick, and it's going to be very difficult to hit you. However, if you take a shot, it's going to do some damage to you. So if you can dodge like a boss and out dodge the aim of the people coming up against you, mate, you'll be all over it. Anyway,
as a striker, I'm looking forward to all of that. Like, to be able to spec out for speed is, you know, I mean, it's been ultimately redundant up to this point.
Yeah, 100%.
Moving on.
So the player's ground speed cap has been increasing, allowing for total faster movement speed regardless of how you may get there. So whether you're flying, walking, jumping, running, like, you will be faster all over. So that's always cool. All the supers will move faster at the same speed as one another while in their supers. So if you are a fucking Captain America and you're coming up against an Arc Strider, the Arc Strider will not be able to outmaneuver you speed-wise. Tactics-wise, that's a different story, but speed-wise, you will move as quickly as he does.
Does that take into account all of their, like, evasive rolls and shit that they can do?
Well, the next one.
No. Like, they're talking about ground speed, ground speed basic attacks.
Okay, right.
And more or less.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
That is literally the next point.
Hearthstrider as a whole is performing well in PvP, but mostly due to its neutral game perks. We've made the following changes in an effort to get to the super, the more competitive option. Faster attack animations, faster dodge animations, and increased range of all attacks, which is ideal because it is supposed to be this bee-like water class, snake-like water, like dodge around the bullets, all that stuff. Like, legitimately, I'm not trying to be an asshole.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That was the whole point of when they released it. It was supposed to be this slick thing that could, you know, dodge around a Prometheus beam and get in and stick its pole up your nose, you know, that sort of thing.
It's been on the feedback list for a while, increasing the speed of us.
Exactly. So one thing that Log and I are very, very happy about, the previous shoulder charge changes are being reverted, allowing shoulder charge to be used as a movement mode once again.
Shout out to Etz, who literally have a mental fucking breakdown when they changed it. He's like, there was a lot of emotional support provided by yours truly to Etz after that. But yeah, it was a good change. It was a dumb thing to do to begin with.
What did they do? So as someone who's not played for a few,
they stopped it being able to be used as sort of like a movement perk. It was basically like, so if you know how like you're falling in your shoulder charge, or you're in air and your shoulder charge to get that bit of extra distance and bit of momentum.
It basically
stopped all of that. So it was the only reason you would shoulder charge is if to actually shoulder charge someone, or like me, do it out of habit, even though it didn't help you at all because you've been doing it for fucking 4 years and don't know how to stop. But yeah, it basically took the momentum out of it all. So to bring that back, I think it was part of what made Striker unique and part of what drew me to that class anyway. So, you know, I think it's positive to bring it back.
Give him a fucking shoulder charge from fucking hip to shoulder and knock him off into the fucking next century.
They really just need to bring back one hit kill shoulder charges, and then I'll be just happy as a pig in shit.
Do you listen? All right, so let's sort of go on a bit of a tangent here. I want that back as well, but do you realize on how much pain that would bring the ease of Bungie and us as a whole who go through Reddit and the Bungie forums and all that sort of thing?
But I don't care because it's pretty bad anyway, isn't it? It's not going to get any worse. I mean, it's a different thing to complain about. At least it'd be something that I enjoyed.
And then some more perks for the lesser classes. Dawnblade has been improved, reduced cost of throwing swords, allowing one additional throw. Okay. Increased super duration extension for Everlasting Fire. Removed in-air accuracy penalties when Swift Strike is active. Reduced Icarus dash cooldown. Increased the grenade melee energy. Heat rises gives you per kill. Okay, so Dawnblade is... I don't think it was ever a non-pick. It was definitely something that you could use, like you had to use intelligently.
Yeah.
Something you had to use intelligently.
This is just a slam, but...
As someone who doesn't even have a hunter, I probably shouldn't comment, but from what I've heard, it was basically worth it for its perks, not for its super.
Warlock, you dickhead.
The warlock, you nonce.
Oh, what? I thought we were talking about Darkstrider still. Anyway.
Dawnblade.
I mean, the thing is, I would only ever use Stormcaller or Nova, to be honest. I never used Dawnblade in PvE. Raid, didn't find it. I couldn't find a reason to pick it.
It was definitely a PvP class. It was definitely a PvP class, and you had to be pretty decent with it.
If they can fit it somewhere in between the ad clearance of a Stormcaller with the, you know, one shot power of the Nova, you know, that's a, you know, you got the Nova bomb, which you just, you know, you might take out the mages or something in the raid, and you know, you might have one Centurion that comes out. You just need to bash, and that's better than your Stormcaller. But if the Dawnblade had enough power to maybe take that out and clear a little bit of ads, like I've had a little bit of ad clearance plus enough capability to take out a major, you might be looking at it being useful again.
Yeah. All right, and then some changes to the hunters outside of being shot out of a cannon into the sun. Ability on dodge and smoke updates. Invisibility on dodge no longer breaks aim assist or projectile tracking in PvP, unchanged in PvE. Yep, that's fine. Dodging still breaks both aim assist and projectile tracking, but only for the duration of the actual dodge. So this ties in with ArcStrider. PC, yeah. It's not really too much of an issue because you don't really have that aim assist. No. But on consoles, huge. Because a lot of people rely a lot. I know I rely heavily on aim assist. Yeah, that's pretty decent. That increase the duration of invisibility on dodge by 1 second. I never even knew how long the invisibility on dodge was.
Well, I mean, it's a second longer after this update. Yeah. So now you know.
Cool.
increase the duration of smoke bomb invisibility by 1 second. Cool. All right. Hunters get to be more arsey. Fun.
Yeah, there's a bit coming up about the invisibility stuff, so just hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. Supers now recharge 1 minute 40 faster. Cooldown reduction 25%. Cool. A lot of people... That's a pretty big change because I remember when the game first came out and even in the betas and all that sort of thing, people complaining about not getting the supers... as much.
Well, I mean, you sit on them. That forces you to sit on them and like wait for the perfect context in which to use them. And it's been a problem with the game since launch, right? Like you so sparingly use your super because you're probably not going to get another one unless you're absolutely going to town, right? So
I think in general, like, I just get the impression that they're injecting some fun back into this and not... they just increase everything. You're going to get grenades faster, supers faster, buffing a whole bunch of abilities. You know, your dawn blade's going to be lasting longer, your invisibility and your dodge. Like, they're all things that just made a whole ton of sense that when D2 released made the game very slow and not as enjoyable. And I think that was an attempt to have balance and a competitive option, and now they're like, well, you know what, we need to bring these things back and we need to make it quicker. Yeah. We need to put some of the fun back into it and take it less serious. I don't think
there's any doubt that they were pushing in that direction of like trying to balance everything out, having everything fucking on an even keel so they could push towards some kind of esport berth or something like that. Ultimately, well, they've realized now that it's just unmanageable, it's just too fucking hard. But you know, time will tell. It's just good to be able to sort of read this and go, you know what, I'm excited about checking out these changes because it does sound like it's going to be fast-paced, fun, lots of supers, lots of heavy, fucking carry on and have a good time with your friends. The end. Rightio.
Well, I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. And they did initially launch an esports sort of thing and then it just, well...
Pizzled out.
Nosedived. Yeah. Well, fizzled out is a word. Fucking nosedived and crashed and burned is another one. Mods that reduce grenade, melee, and class ability cooldowns have been buffed to allow up to 2 times faster cooldowns. Okay, so if you're into that whole micromanaging your stats and all that sort of thing, it is not replacing mods 2.0, which we'll get to a little bit in a sec, but 2 times faster cooldown. So if you want to do like a faster super, you want to do faster smoke grenades and be that shitty hunter, or if you want to do that, what's that warlock perk that gives you health back on melee kills?
Devour.
That's pretty brutal, that. Right. That's pretty brutal.
Well, we're not going to go into
weapon archetypes. Yeah, if you're not going to go into the weapon archetypes and all that sort of thing, because there is it's basically a lot of increases to all weapons across the board. Please check out the TWAP if you want to know about it. There's also weapon perks in there as well. So
I think we'll just go look right. Taking away just a quick at a glance read through of this, pulse rifles are going to see a bump. Scout rifles are probably going to sit about where they are because they're pretty solid anyway. Hand cannons might see a bump depending on which way a few of the perks fall. Sidearms are going to probably be pretty fucking strong by the read of this. And a lot of across the board sort of buffs to damage. So I think time to kill really may well be affected by a lot of these changes. So, you know, hopefully not too much, but still, yeah. All right, Slothy, sorry.
Sidearm meta. Fucking
snipers are getting a bit of a
Snipers are getting a bit of a retooling. Yeah,
they are getting a retooling. But the thing is, though, the maps are too small. I still believe the maps are too small for snipers to be worth. Like, you need to be very quick on the trigger.
Yeah.
Mm. Very, very quick on the trigger, like, or lucky.
Only thing that's taking a hit is assault rifles by the looks of it.
Yeah, no more hoses.
Decrease range and aim assist.
Say goodbye to bloody positive outlook. The urinal's gift or whatever.
Positive outlook, urinal's gift.
Throw them in the bins.
All going
to throw them in the bin.
Yeah. Get them out of here. Bring back bring back the Hawksaw, eh, Log?
Yeah, dude.
Mods rework. First, let's talk about the changes about the potency of ability cooldown mods. I'm just going to read this verbatim at the moment. We mentioned that we were going to wait and buff ability cooldowns at the same time we dropped the mods rework. Over the last few weeks, it has become obvious that the mod rework was going to need more time to come together due to the scope of the changes. That decision, which has already been accounted for in the last roadmap that you saw, is ultimately going to be a win for all of us. It gives us time to deliver something we believe that will add value to the game. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, they're going to continue to tweak mods until it's at a point where we can be happy with them. I say we as a whole. We. For our audio only listeners. We, air quotes.
Yeah.
So we can be happy as a whole. So keep an eye out for the mod stuff. Yes, as I said before, it's got 2x faster on whatever it is that you choose to go with. But just keep an eye on it, guys. 27th of March, 27th of April, there should be some decent changes coming in for mods. And I know it might even draw me, the laziest man on this podcast.
Oh, I don't know about that. No, I don't know about that. You know what? We're all going to have to line up 2 weeks of annual leave and just see who can do the least over that amount of time. What have you done today?
Listen, all right. You know what I did? You know what I did yesterday? I went to sleep at 5 a.m.
Yes.
I woke up at 5 p.m., made dinner, started stream, streamed for 2 hours until my migraine got to a point where I couldn't actually see, and then went to bed again.
That's what happens when you fucking got vampirism, man. You get headaches if you don't feed up the blood. You got to fucking get out there.
Fuck yourself. Fuck yourself. Do I look like a G? Oh, wait, no, I don't know.
You are. Well, yes, don't answer that question.
Invisibility. Night Stalkers of the Day of Reckoning is soon upon us. Our invisible exploits may have barely been seen. But yeah, they're basically changing the currently, so the initiate, dodge, or throw smoke will give you invisibility. Dodging temporarily kills aim assist and projectile tracking. And smoke just immediately jumps to initiate invisibility, which gives you, turns off aim assist projectile tracking, dodge finishes, invisibility expires, aim assist and tracking are re-enabled. So, in the PvP only, in 1.1.4, initiate dodge or throw smoke, dodging temporarily kills aim assist and projectile tracking. Smoke just immediately jumps to initiate invisibility. Dodge finishes, aim assist and tracking are re-enabled. Invisibility expires. Nothing changes for PvE except they also get the 1 second one second duration increase to invisibility. Words are fucking hard.
This has been the most punishing dwob of all time. Yeah. This is just brutal. There's so much information.
Basically, there are some serious changes into invisibility with projectile tracking and aim assist. Again, PC don't really have that issue, but definitely Xbox and PlayStation definitely do have that issue, so keep an eye out on it. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I think you did really well, Slothy, getting through all of that shit. That was pretty brutal, and you only just started to come unstuck at the end.
As well as getting...
Yeah, that's a bug that they've had in their sights for a while, and it seems that they've finally figured it out and will be addressed. So that's good. Yeah. Good news. Good news for those who...
Fantastic.
...can find a way to use snipers in this game, which I certainly can't, but fair enough. But, I mean, in PvE, much more useful, but it is what it is.
Destiny companion apps getting an update too, this last little paragraph.
Yeah, I mean, I like apparently. That sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah. I think that's one thing that Destiny's always done really well, is have that sort of, like, even when you're at work and you should be being productive, you can fuck around with your character and stuff like that and go through your stuff, look at your guns. Like, I like that sort of stuff. And I think that if they continue to build on that, that's another thing that, you know, people, like, I mean, I still look at the app more than I probably play the game. I know that sounds weird, but I still do. I just, you know, like, I mean, I manage the clan through it, and that's still people coming and going from that. So I'm in it quite a bit, and it, you know, it could do with an overhaul, it could do with a bump. So it'd be interesting to see really what that's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get you.
Well, look, I think, I don't know, I think everything sounds great. Everything sounds like it's going in the right direction. It sounds like, yeah, even for someone like me that doesn't really play PvP, it sounds like something that I would jump into now. And it sounds like, you know, running strikes and getting supers faster and throwing more abilities around like that. That was what was fun about, like, running strikes, is you have some buddies, you just keep chaining your supers and, you know, you just steamroll through the area and, you know, get your gear and you just sort of goof around a bit. So it sounds like a lot of that is going to be coming back into it. I do think PvP specifically is going to have a hard time recovering. I think a lot of PvP players have moved on from...
Oh, yeah.
Content creation anyway. I don't think the numbers will return to PvP in what it was before with Destiny 1. I don't think they'll reach those numbers again. I think a lot of people have left for good on the PvP front.
It ties in really well with the rise and rise of Fortnite, right? You know, like PUBG. Yeah. PUBG was where everyone's going. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I saw a PUBG clip in my feed or anything now, but dude, Fortnite is literally every third post, and I barely play the game, and it's so, a lot of the Destiny community has moved straight over there. You know, you see people make jokes about, you know, is there a Fortnite community or is it just the displaced Destiny community? Destiny refugees seeking fun and excitement instead of boredom. Yeah. But, you know, I think you're right, Matt, in that, like, it's going to take something seriously impressive to bring people back. And, you know, you hear the comparison with where the Division's at right now a lot, in that, you know, oh yeah, look, if they continue to improve things, you know, like the Division did it, but the Division didn't embitter people when it was first released.
I mean, that's a
reckon it did.
You reckon?
But I think in general, the modes of PvP that are coming out in games now are so vastly different and entertaining that, you know, like Fortnite did the battle royale genre, but they put a spin on it, right, with building, that's really captured a lot of people. And then you've got all these other battle royale genres that are coming out that have their own spin. Like I saw, what's that one where you have like a director? It's called
Darwin Project.
I saw people playing that. The Hunt has also got a unique mechanic in it too. Escape from Tarkov, you know, has like the
Escape from Tarkov isn't a VR. It's not like
a VR, no, I didn't mean like that. I'm talking about modes that are different from your standard thing. And what Destiny has to offer to PvP players is a 6v6 play type.
Arena shooter.
And you know, there's so many other things that are inventing different, like Escape from Tarkov is another spin on this mix of PvP, PvE stuff, and is really unique. And I don't know, I feel like to bring people back, even with all the really good changes, might be a struggle. I think PvE will be okay though. I think because I don't think there's as much competition for first person raid events. Yeah, you can't really get that anywhere yet. So I think people will come back for raids and some grinding on the side in the PvE area, but I'll be interested to see what
happens. There's still a few content creators that focus mainly wholly and solely come Saturday or Friday Saturday morning for us. Saturday morning for us, they're jumping straight on the trials. And, yeah, it gives the directory, at least on Twitch, a bit of a boost. But a lot of your big content creators for PvP, yeah, they've moved on to other things. And as you say, Matt, it's going to be – and you've said this before in prior casts, you know, they need to do something fucking incredible come the next DLC release to bring people back. Because if it's only meh or if it's bad, people are going to drop it. Like, see, people have already started dropping it from their content, all their content as a whole anyway.
Yeah, but I think they can do, like, they've got the flexibility to do that with PvE. And you can see them trying to do it with PvP, which is like, hey, 6v6 now is coming back. And, like, they're trying to change the way that those modes work because I think they're going to have a hard time competing with
other games. But this is the question. I'm going to be the asshole as I usually am. This is the question. Why did they get rid of it in the first place? Shut the fuck up.
Why did they get rid of it?
6v6.
Why didn't they keep that
Destiny 1?
I don't know.
From Destiny 1. Like, the Destiny 1, the PvP wasn't perfect at all, in the slightest. But, you know...
I would love to be in a fly on the wall when that decision was made. And wouldn't it be great if someone came out with some... you know, ex-employee that was there when they had... Because this must have been a fucking big decision when they were doing Destiny 2 to make that kind of change. So, I don't know. I don't know why that decision was made. My only best guess was part of balancing and trying to make it, like, you know, that competitive game mode.
Do you want to bring up the chat?
Absolutely. In the
screen there, mate. So... Atomic Jet, he's just in regards to what we said there before, but 6v6 isn't going to work, not in D2. I agree to a point with the map sizes. The map sizes are going to be a bit of a pain. It's going to be like you're going to be spawning on top of each other and all that sort of thing. And then Dr. Suplex, prior to that, I wasn't around for year one for the first game, but I've heard how dramatic the shift was from... the Dark Below to the Taken King, which it was. It was huge. It was a massive shift. It made the game almost brand new again. People joined. Like, there's a lot of people on my Xbox friends list who joined at the Taken King. It was like, wow, this game's pretty good. And it's just like, well, you should have seen it 6 months ago. House of Wolves and fucking Dark Below. Bow! But, you know, like, if they can pull something off like that again, mate, people will be coming back to it in droves, I guarantee you. There will still be salty people, of course.
I don't know if they can pull it off, but I know that they need to.
Like, oh, shit, yeah.
Because if they fall short, honestly, I mean, look at it now. I mean, you've got so many content creators and people who Destiny has been their mainstay over such a long period of time, sort of being forced to find other things to do. And it's not like, you know, like I'll paraphrase a little bit, but I think I speak for Matt when I say that, like, it's not about, like, just hating Destiny or wanting to do something else or anything like that. It's that, and it's partly that the audience just isn't there. Like, I mean, you can't make a, you know, people make a living out of doing this. You can't make a living when no one watches your fucking videos. So it's that. Like,
well, I mean, it's the age old saying. It's the age old saying. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You know, like, you can bring people into the directory and be, like, the nicest. And I'm talking purely on Twitch only because that's where I am.
Yep.
You can join. Yeah, you can start your stream and just be like, hey, everyone, how you doing? You haven't seen them for, like, a day or so. How you doing? Everyone comes in and they're like, they want to see you. But on a small, like, no matter how good of a broadcaster you are, on a very, very small part of these people's minds, they want to say, well... I also want to see decent gameplay too. If you're a decent streamer, like if you're a streamer like Talon or Ninja, or if you're a streamer like Sniperton, like they are there for the person, but they also want to see the gameplay as well. If that makes sense.
I mean, I think that's so, there's an element of that, and it's got to be something that people are interested in anyway. I mean, I know, like, even in my viewing habits, if, like, there's people that I normally watch and, like, I want to, you know, if they're playing something that I'm not interested in, I don't turn up. And I know that's kind of bad, but at the same time, it's kind of the reality of what the fucking service industry is, really, because that's all you're doing.
Exactly.
It's providing entertainment. What do you think, Maddie? You look like you're in very, very deep thought or meditation.
He's in deep thought.
Sorry.
What is the... give us the answer to the ultimate question.
My deep thought is I'm organising a Bucks night at the moment. And I've just got messages like, how many cards you got?
That's heaps better than Destiny. Anyway, let's do that. Have a box party.
So speaking of like, keep guys, if you're in the chat or on YouTube, if you do have any questions or anything like that, please let us know in YouTube. Let us know in the comments below. Ask the questions about D2. Like, give some thought, your thought process on where it's going to go or anything like that. Same with on Podbean. Podbean.
SoundCloud. Is it Podbean now? This is the SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
I've not yet migrated.
And people in the chat, just let us know on your thoughts of Destiny as well. But news that happened just yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, Division 2. So speaking of what you were saying there before, Division 2 has been teased. We should have some more information come E3 this year. That's an interesting thought, mainly because of Division recently becoming quite good.
A lot huge of people's resurgence. Mainstays again. Huge resurgence.
Yeah, huge resurgence. It's really, really, really awesome. I'm actually considering picking it up for PC and playing it again on PC, because I'm at the max level on Xbox, and there's a lot of people who want to play on PC. I'm like, fuck it, why not? Let's give it a go. Fortnite, mobile cross play with PC and PlayStation. That's an interesting move by Epic Games.
They're doing that now because they took it away. They're going to add it back.
No. So if you have a mobile device with Fortnite on it, you can play with PC players and PlayStation players.
What?
Yeah. Legitimately.
Oh, fuck me. I'll believe that when I see it. I can't get my head around it. I can't get my head. I'm not saying that it's not happening or. Man,
it's a very, very incredible thing. And moving on as well, so they've also got Sea of Thieves also comes out in 9 days as
the
well.
The 20th, 10 days from now, Australian time.
10 days
but
from now.
More importantly, if you're on the fence about it, there is an open beta running right fucking now, which is why I look tired. Correct. Because I've been up all night playing it with Tower and fucking shooting people. But as it stands, it's probably the most full feature set that we've seen outside of the alphas. You know, the alphas had some pretty solid stuff in them that they've kept under wraps in the open betas, but the closed betas, this is open. So if you're on the fence and you want to give it a bash, give it a bash. It doesn't matter if you're on PC or on Xbox, you can play between both. There's no hiccups. I've been doing it the entire time. So jump in and have a crack, because, you know, plastic swords and all that sort of shit. I've got a plastic sword right here that I might use for another podcast. But anyway, get in and have a look.
So the other things that have come out as well on March, so not yesterday, but the day before, is, so like I said, Fortnite on mobile, we've got Black Ops 4. Sorry, I just had to find that page, that news page. Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Now, we played Black Ops 3 log. We were like, this time, Steebler, will he go off the edge? But it's an interesting move to go to for Call of Duty to keep pulling off the Black Ops subtitle, mainly because that Black Ops, it wasn't really well received last time around, as far as I can remember. It wasn't really well received. But yeah, and then a whole bunch of new Nintendo news that no one really gives a stuff about. But this week, it's all been happening in the video game industry, guys. So please go out there and look it up. I'm currently on the IGN website, on the piece written by Alana Pierce. So if you want to check that out, that is right there as well. But the most important piece of information that I got out of that was the Division 2, honestly.
It's interesting, like, seeing resurgence in the Division. I think a lot of people look to that as, you know, maybe evidence that Bungie can recover. But I think they're in different boats. I think the bridges burnt in the community is probably the number one factor for Bungie's success at the moment. And my sort of feeling is it might have gone too far. Whereas I don't think there was bridges burnt with the division. I think people picked it up. They said, yeah, it's not bad, but it's not great. And they just put it back down. And then they made it great and people picked it back up again. I think that's the difference between division and
through,
destiny.
It's gone through lulls as well. It's gone through lulls. So you've got not like lulls as in lulls, but like
a lull, like got, an actual lull.
When it was released, everyone jumped on it. It was the Destiny killer.
Yeah.
And then it sort of died off. And then it came back up when incursions were in. It's like Destiny killer again. And then it went back down. And it stayed down quite a bit. And then it's come back up with what it's currently been re-released as. And it does give me a little bit of hope for Destiny 2. I hope. Mm. I hope that Bungie can sort of capitalize on this. On the other side of the coin, however, is that, as you said, I think a lot of bridges have been burnt. I mean, you look at this. We were talking about this post podcast. Like we are maybe moving away from the Destiny branding. I know Log has moved away from the Destiny branding on his YouTube channel.
I had some sage advice from a very professional YouTuber that I spoke to through the week, and we had a good talk, and I've sort of decided that what I'm going to do, at least while Sea of Thieves is starting, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to throw everything I got at it and just see where the tides take me, for want of a better term. So it's not about not liking Destiny or whatever. I mean, obviously we're all kind of dissatisfied with where it's at. I'm here. I'm always going to be doing this. So long as these boys are doing it, it's something that I've done for, you know, it's part of my life now. I'm part of this community and I don't intend on ever leaving. But at the same time, I've got to spread my wings and fly in some creative capacity. So if you're after any of the Destiny stuff that I did, beat the songs or whatever, they're all still on YouTube, but they're unlisted. So just shoot me a message and I'll send you the link. It's fine. I just don't want people coming to my channel for the first time and being like, what the fuck does this dude do again? Here's music, here's fucking Destiny, here's pirate shit. Just, you know, like that's all it's about. And I'm just trying to give myself a good shot.
This is the thing. Like, you've got to do what you got to do. And a lot of people have done that. A lot of people have moved away from Destiny. I watched a video this morning from The Jez featuring Sly Old Dog. He hadn't played Destiny for a while and they spent God knows how long trying to figure out why Sly couldn't play the Nightfall. And then it was like that's how long it's been since the two of those lovely individuals had played the game.
Hmm.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult, at least for me and for Matt and I, to get back into the Destiny thing. Like, I will always be thankful for the Destiny community. But it's not really worth playing. The gameplay is, like Spoon said it before, the gameplay is great, but I have no incentive to play it because I don't get anything out of it. Mm. Don't get any enjoyment. Don't garner any enjoyment.
I'll give a little update, which I haven't really done to anyone yet, and it might or might not eventuate with what's going to happen with what I'm doing. And I was sort of speaking with Log and Sloth, you know, before we start this podcast about the YouTube channel. And, you know, I'm in the, when I first started YouTube, you know, I worked on it full time for 6 months. Like, that was what I did. I didn't have another job. And eventually I found lore videos, and you find your routine, and then you work out, you know, everything. And, you know, once you work out your video editing techniques and your thumbnails and how to do everything, then, you know, you become efficient at it. It's like any other job, and you can get that amount of work done in, you know, X time. And for me, you know, I can usually get a lore video done in a full day's work, you know, like eight or 10 hours, I can get a video from start to finish done. The issue with, you know, pivoting and changing direction when things aren't going well is you basically got to start from scratch in all your templates and how you get things done and your research. And, you know, I've tried to make some Monster Hunter videos and they've actually done pretty good, but, you know, they take like, the reason why I haven't released another video is I've already spent like 15, 20 hours researching Monster Hunter and haven't found the good topic to speak about. And, you know, I really did appreciate Destiny Grimmauld cards, actually, and the lore that they introduced in Destiny. It is actually very unique when I start looking at other games.
That's not lore anymore, mate. That's not lore anymore. It's Wivetales.
Shut your face. Okay.
Let the man speak.
So, you know, I'm in a position where I really want to pivot. And because I know that's what my channel needs, I really need to start doing different stuff and like even some of the game journalism stuff I was doing, but I don't have time to do it. So I'm in a bit of a pickle with, you know, just limping along with Destiny content and hopefully, you know, it comes around or putting efforts into something else. But it's just a time management. And I don't think it's really, unfortunately, like what it's done is a lot of casual content creation. I'll call myself casual because it's not my full-time job to do it. Like it's killed a lot of those channels, in my opinion, because if you're not doing this full-time, it's very hard to pivot and rebrand. And rebranding takes nearly all of your time. And to build a new community takes a lot of time. So you've got to try to squeeze 3 years' work into, you know, the next couple of months. So.
But the thing is, though, like we joke and all that sort of thing around, but I don't think a lot of people realise on how much it hits content creators when they say, "Oh, Destiny's dead," or people like you start streaming and people come in and go, "Ah, people are still playing this game," or you go like the YouTube comments, which is just sometimes just horrible, like on any channel. But it is a serious issue. It is a very serious issue that I don't actually know that Bungie fully realized until some of the massive, massive content creators, your Gathalions, your Tefts, your T-Rexes, your bloody Bromans, until they went away from Destiny branding on their content. And a lot of people are just like, well, like, for the first time in 3 years, Destiny and Destiny 2 are not even in the top 50 of Twitch's.
Yeah, that's fucking frightening, man. I mean, like, I went on YouTube and, you know, I see a video from Goth that I've watched a little bit of that's literally called Life After Destiny. You know, like, yeah, explaining his motivations and what he's doing. And you know what? Like, credit to him for being open enough to just put his shit out there and say what he thinks. And, I mean, he's that kind of guy anyway, and he's someone that I think, like, probably had his place in the Destiny community for a reason. He did good things and, you know, him, Pro Bro, all those dudes. And that's fine. But to see where they go now, it interests me because I still care about, like, members of this community. And I think that's another thing that kind of, when you realize what has happened to Destiny and the fact that it has nearly killed a fucking entire niche industry. It's like a coal mine shutting down, right? And then all of the subsidiary businesses built up around near where the coal mine is have no one to fucking, you know, there's no workers there anymore to feed. It's just, it winds it up and it's sad. But hopefully, you know, there's some kind of resurgence. I don't think we're ever going to get back to the golden age, for want of a better term, though. I think it's going to be a slog. I think it's we're going to be in it for the long haul, boys.
Well, I mean, before we do go, but look at it this way, and we've said it before, and I'll say it again. Now is the time, as Darwin's just said in the chat. Now is the time for the new broadcasters, the new YouTube content creators to get in there and get their hooks into it. Because if it does recover, goddamn, you are going to see some jump. But and I've said this before as well, I wouldn't know Log and Matt without Destiny. A lot of these people, as Max Panther said before in the chat as well, like someone said the other day that being a Guardian in Destiny is the best thing he's ever happened to him in game and out. You know, I wouldn't have this and this. from my very good friend Bundy and Log and I both have one, and a lot of the people from the TA clan have one. You know, like we wouldn't know each other without it. So just keep that in mind, guys. Like, don't fucking bollock someone. I've said this before. Don't bollock someone because they play Destiny or they like Destiny or they tweet about Destiny. Just let them enjoy the game. Let people enjoy things, ladies and gentlemen. It has been an absolute pleasure. Matthew has to go and plan copious amounts of alcohol in injection to many, many men. And
you made that sound as bad as possible. Yeah, wow. Right.
That's not what I meant. He needs to plan getting lots of people drunk and spending a night in the strippers. Not the strippers, the malls.
Strip malls.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much for watching. If you're on YouTube, please hit that like and subscribe button for more content. Also, check out Log's channel at youtube.com/LogPowerSlave or Mylan's channel, youtube.com/MylanGames. They're both incredible people, and you guys should go and check them out. Please leave a comment below if you have any sort of questions or queries, doubtful points about the question of where the direction of the podcast and all that sort of thing. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching. We have been the Destiny Down Under podcast.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. There's no more The Law Will Find You. I think we've scrubbed that, haven't we?
Matthew will find you and he will shoot you in Tarkov.
No, it's not. I've been across the world, mate. The law ain't coming back. No.
I'll go get my tiny violin. All right. Thanks, everyone. It's been fucking real. Cheers.
Yeah.
Peace. Stole that.
Peace.